Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 36.
Does that work?
Yeah, fingers still sore, though. Anyway, we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about tonight. Looks like you've been doing your research. We got stuff out. You did a mic review, and what's some of the other things you're going to talk about?
Oh, we got a little mic review to talk about. There's a new version of Audacity that just got dropped. There's a new TwistaWave coming, which I was hoping to be able to talk about tonight, but it didn't drop quite yet. But I'll tell you what to expect. Maybe talking about the new Apple hardware called Apple Silicon. What does it mean? What does it matter? Does it matter at all? Who knows? And then we'll talk about choosing a booth. How soundproof do you actually really need your next booth to be? So Dan and I will discuss that.
That'll be fun. And we got lots of your questions that you've been sending in to the guys at VOBS.TV, and we appreciate that. And we're going to get to them during the show. Thanks for being with us. It's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Hey.
Let's do this.
Hey, all right. Hey. Good evening, good afternoon, whatever time you're watching this. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS
Tech
Talk. We had no idea where we were going with that, but you know.
I think this like working in isolation day after day thing is really just starting to make, not, I think it's making everybody a little bit slightly dumber. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Speaking for me, but I mean, I'm just hearing this, like, there's just a general melting away of people's faculties, their sharpness, you know, customer service getting worse in general. Just like, I don't know if you've noticed that. Have you?
What are we talking about?
Exactly. Comprehension of the language, you know, all that stuff.
Exactly. I saw a great Marcy's been watching a lot of videos. You know, she's sitting around a lot. Mm-hmm. And there was one, there's this family that makes videos, and they took the song "I Want to Know What Love Is," and he sang it like Michael Bolton, and it's like, "I want to know what day it is."
Yes.
It's a great video.
I love the creativity. I mean, there is a lot of creativity that's come out of this.
Oh, it's been great.
It's not all bad.
Oh, absolutely. You know, being at home, I mean, people are getting to know their kids. Kids are getting to know their parents. Some parents are like, I can't wait till this is over. But anyway. But what George and I do is we help you guys with your home voiceover studios because, let's face it, everybody's got to have one now. It's mandatory. We've been telling you it's mandatory for years, but you know, now you have to. So Mr. Whittem and I have been very, very busy little beavers in the last 3 months, running around, getting everybody set up and helping our existing clients and stuff. But what we do is we teach it from the bottom up. A lot of you have been doing it for a while. Sometimes you have a technical issue. We can fix it. We understand what it's supposed to sound like. And we help you do that. And we try to make it easy for you to set it, forget it, hit record, and not be an engineer, but be a voice actor. Isn't that about what we do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think people get their wires crossed between like what DJs do on the radio, you know, where they all the gear in front of them and a mixer, or someone that's a live music DJ where they've got all the, that's not at all what you need to confuse with your voice acting. You know, you really, that stuff needs to fade into the background as much as possible, you know, and so you can focus. So that's our job, to make sure the gear you're using allows you to voice act with minimal interference.
Right. You're not supposed to be an engineer. No one's asking you to be an engineer. They just want nice, clean, properly modulated audio and nothing else. You know, they just want to hear the sound of your voice, not what a great producer you are, because then they have to unproduce what you produced.
Right.
So anyway, if you like working with somebody who knows what they're actually doing, well, we think we do. If you want to work with George, where do they go?
Yeah, I've been told that I know what I'm doing by people that hire me at georgethe.tech. That's the website for my tech support, my branded tech support. We've got all kinds of services, from the lowly but very important sound check all the way up to let's design your whole dream studio, and everything in between. It can be just a classic, let's talk for a half hour and figure out what's going on and get to the bottom of it. So all that stuff's available right there on the website. And Dan, you provide a lot of the same stuff I do in your own way over your own site, and that's down at
homevoiceoverstudio.com. That's where you'll find me. You'll hear, you know, some of the services I offer. And, you know, sometimes I feel like a therapist with a lot of people. I'm sure you do, too.
I know how that, yes. I get it.
You know, it's like, it doesn't work. I don't understand it. Okay, calm down. It's not rocket science. Well, maybe it's rocket science to you, but it's not to us. Let us explain it.
It's nothing to lose your head over.
That's right. But one of the services that I offer is my specimen collection cup. If you send me some raw audio from your studio, we'll get it sounding right. Unless, of course, you already have it sounding right. In which case, I'll say, hey, you already got it sounding right. You know, and I get a lot of those. But you know what the best part about what we do, George? It's making friends and meeting people who are, you know, pursuing voiceover, are in voiceover, because this is the greatest community around. Great bunch of people, and you know, it's just nice meeting creative people.
It is.
So anyway, so let's get into the meat of the matter in tech talk here. What are your things in your tech update this week?
Well, just quickly, first of all, I finally did the Vanguard V4 microphone review.
Well, it's about time.
Promising for a long time. That's why that's not the mic you're seeing tonight, because it was time to set it back. And ship it back to Vanguard. It's in a box in my car waiting for my chance to go out and drop it off at FedEx. But it came out really nicely, I think. And I was impressed with that mic. I'll tell you, there's so many new mics coming out these days, and it's very hard to convince me that you should just get the newest, latest thing, because like, how many different variations on a microphone, a large diaphragm condenser mic, can we make and do anything new? But I think in terms of how the thing is packaged, how well it's made, how it looks, how it sounds, and the price point, they pretty well nailed it. It looks like a really high class mic. And for some people, you know, the mic, the way it looks can, you know, have a little psychological effect on how they perform, I suppose. So, you know, it was great. So if you want to check out the video, it's on my YouTube channel, George the Tech. Go check it out and leave a comment if you like it or don't.
Yeah.
I'd appreciate it.
I did one too last year, and I think I did another one for them. So yeah, they make great mics. As a matter of fact, no, I'm not doing a striptease here, but I do.
What a quinky dink.
I do have my Vanguard Audio t-shirt. Yeah, we go to NAMM every year. We always end up with another t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things I talk about in the video is about using the multi-pattern function, which is not usually something that we're big on talking about, which is like all you need is a cardioid mic usually or a shotgun mic. But this one's got multi-patterns. So check out the video and you get to see and hear me describe and even hear how those different patterns sound and why you might care. So check it out.
Yeah. Something with Audacity?
Yeah. Audacity is going through a little growing pain, which a lot of softwares do this from time to time. They release a new version and then things go downhill a little bit. And that's what happened with Audacity. So they released, I believe it was 2.4.1, 2.4, which had problems. Then 2.4.1 came out to fix those problems. And other problems came along. And I think a lot of the reasons for those updates were to have Audacity be compliant to be installed and run on Catalina. Mm-hmm. So there were a bunch of people that were using Audacity, happily for the most part. And then when they had to get new Macs and get Catalina, or they screwed up and installed Catalina, they found out they were having trouble getting Audacity to load. So now those bugs supposedly have been fixed in 2.4.2. It's so new that I just haven't had a chance. When I was doing my little pre-show prep to see what was new, that was something that popped up on my radar. So I just want to let you guys know, if you do have 2.4.1 and you have been having issues with varying functions, get 2.4.2 right away. If you're on version 2.3.3 and you're happy with what's working and it's working for you, don't touch a thing. Leave it right where it's at. Trust me.
Good to know, because now I know when I hit record, it actually starts recording.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's this piece of advice for you guys will never change for me, which is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's already working, if the version of software you have is been reliable for you day after day, if the version of Mac OS also is, or even Windows, although with Windows, you don't really have a choice because it automatically updates. But anyway, you know, with these systems, as long as they're working for you, keep them where they're at. Don't keep upgrading. If you just can't help it, get another computer for hacking around with the latest and greatest stuff, but have a production machine that you can rely on.
Yeah. As my mother always said, better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
That's true. Yeah. Another way of saying that.
And my mother's always right.
So there's also a new Twisted Wave coming. A little birdie told me it's kind of cool working. I don't know, Thomas, have you ever had email exchanges with Thomas at Twisted Wave, Dan?
Once or twice. Yeah.
I think it comes from like asking for tech help or having a tech bug from one of my clients. And then he replies. Once I get him kind of get his ear, you know, like he's replied to something, I will sneak in there and say, you know, it'd be really cool if Twisted Wave could do. So there are some new versions coming, some new features coming. You know, nothing that's going to like revolutionize things a whole lot. It's not going to look different. And that's what's great about Twisted Wave. You can pretty much count on it looking and operating essentially the same way, just with little enhancements snuck in there. So one of them that's going to be in the new one is if you use batch processing, and let's say you use batch processing to help automate the process of mastering audiobooks. Which anybody that does self-produced books like ACX knows you gotta get this stuff down to the point where it's almost automatic because it's so time consuming otherwise, and you don't want to waste time. So what Thomas did was he added the analyze feature into the batching process. So what that means is you can essentially load a whole bunch of files in there, have your mastering stack. Have the batch also save it as a wave in an MP3, but also analyze every one of those files to see if all the processing gave you the right output RMS range. So that's new. That's something that isn't in there yet. And so what it does is after it's done all the processing, and you know, if you process a whole book worth of files, your computer is going to be chewing away for 20, 30 minutes, maybe longer. So you can walk away and come back. And when you're done, you have a folder full of files, and you have a CSV or like a spreadsheet with every file name and all the specs for every file, and you'll know at a glance, did I fall outside of that requested or required RMS range?
Right.
That's going to be cool. Just a little thing like that, but it's going to make it more enhanced. And I'm hoping also, I shouldn't say these things before they actually happen, counting my chickens here, but I think he's going to have a feature where it will confirm what input that it is that you're using when you start it. Or maybe another variation of that, which is like Audition. You know how in Audition, when you load it and the wrong hardware is plugged in?
Yep.
And it always will nag you. And at first it's a little annoying, but you realize it's actually useful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going to happen in Twist of Wave. I cannot tell you how many people record from the wrong microphone in Twisted Wave.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? I mean, how many files have you heard, Dan, with the wrong recorder with the wrong mic?
You know, you sound like you're on the other side of the room. Really? Like, check your mic input. You know, it's one of the first things you should check, and, you know, and make sure your levels are. But see, I just love Twisted Wave because it just works on your iPad. And if you're on the road, if you're moving around,
yeah,
it will work for you there. You know, and I know a lot of people that, you know, they'll have, you know, their copy will be on their iPad and Twisted Wave is running in the background. And
yeah. Four fingers is the magic swipe gesture to switch between two apps. And you can very easily do that. So it's cool. So I'm looking forward to that. That's just an enhancement that I thought would be really helpful. I would like less of my clients to have that, make that mistake. And so I think it's going to, when you launch it, if you don't have your Scarlett 2i2 plugged in, for example, it'll nag you and say, hey, your Scarlett's not plugged in. So that could be really cool, really helpful.
Yeah.
Future of Apple Mac hardware. So last week was the WWDC, which is nerd speak for there's new stuff from Apple coming and you might want to know about it. And so what they're going to do is, you know, if you have an iPhone or if you have an iPad, the chips that are inside those things are now actually produced by Apple. They actually have their own chips. They call them like A13 Bionic or whatever. Well, I mean, it should come as no real surprise that they eventually figure out how to put those chips in actual Macs, MacBooks and everything. And sure enough, that is what's happening. And it's going to happen pretty soon. So probably the next brand new Mac you buy, if it's sometime next year, is probably going to be no longer have Intel chips. It's going to have Apple Silicon. That's what they're calling it. So it's one of those things where I'm going to be really nervous about buying the first Apple Silicon MacBook, you know. While it may be great hardware, this, who knows about perfect support of software and older versions of software and all that, but they did some very, very impressive demos and showed that it has this thing called Rosetta. Dan, do you remember Rosetta? Does that ring a bell?
There was Rosetta Stone.
Translator.
Right.
Translator, right?
Right.
How long has it been? Do you remember when you were using Mac long enough to go from PowerPC to Intel 12, 15 years ago?
Yeah, probably. I mean, my first Mac was a G4.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. You went from the PowerPC era. Yeah,
right.
So when they made that transition, they used a thing called Rosetta. So you could run some really old PowerPC app on your newer Intel Mac. But there was a little while there, it was kind of a crud, you know, during the time of Leopard, OS Leopard, things were a little rocky. But that worked pretty well. So now they have Rosetta 2. So if you have a new Mac with Apple Silicon, it's gonna run all your old apps, almost guaranteed. Very few exceptions. So it should be a smooth transition, but you know, it's very early days. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, we'll see. Does it mean they're going to be less expensive? I'm hoping that it means a MacBook that has no fan.
Ah.
Because the chips in the iPad, you know, like the iPad Pro, if you look around, you'll see that that is a seriously fast device in terms of just sheer horsepower.
Right.
And so, but it's fanless, totally solid state, but it doesn't run Mac OS. So the perfect thing for me would be something that's that kind of that level of hardware, but in a Mac. So you're actually running Mac OS and it's a totally silent, solid state, no compromises computer. So that's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. Because man, fan noise, big problem right now. I mean, we're all doing like live stream video chat sessions with Source Connect and Twisted Wave, and the computers are just sometimes just not even hanging. If you got like a 2014 MacBook Air and you're trying to do all that stuff, it ain't gonna go too well.
It ain't gonna go too well. Coming out of some of the ports.
Yeah, I ran into a problem with one of my clients. She was trying to do some audiobook production, believe it or not, live directed remotely and recorded on Source Connect and directed on Zoom and the whole thing. And the machine couldn't quite hang. It caused some issues. She had to buy a new Mac real quick and get up to speed.
Wow.
So anyway, that's my update on tech stuff. But maybe a good idea, maybe we can talk about choosing booths.
Yeah, I mean, because...
soundproofing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of manufacturers out there. I mean, at least there were. Well, there's probably even more now.
I think probably more than ever.
Everybody's jumping in because everybody's got to have a booth. Or do you?
Yeah.
I mean, what was your thinking on this?
It's tough. Well, I will get the query on Facebook. This one actually came from contributor to the show, Shauna Pennington Baird.
Uh-huh.
She actually mentioned in a Facebook chat about our Facebook topic about we need to move. Unfortunately, it ain't our fault. That's the problem with renting commercial space. And unfortunately, they've got decent studios, but they're going to have to move. And so they're looking for an alternative. And will Studio Bricks cut it? Will it be quiet enough in the situation we're going to be in?
Are they moving to the airport or what?
Yeah, well, I think the south part of Seattle, there's a lot of industry down there.
Right.
And there's also freight tracks.
Right.
And I think they're going to be a little too close to maybe one of those train lines.
Right.
So she wants to know, what is it going to be soundproof enough? My answer to that thread was essentially, we need more information. Because, if you look at the specs, they'll give you some number and it's like 42 dBs of noise reduction based on ISO 701 dot blah, blah, blah. Some standard for measuring soundproofing, which is actually a pretty good standard. I was reading about it today. It still didn't shed a whole heck of a lot of light on how it's exactly measured. But the problem is like it still doesn't give us a lot of real world information. So when I'm looking at what kind of booth is going to work, I need to know, first of all, where are you starting from? Like, how much noise do you currently have? Right. So I'll tell people if they're really starting from square one, record some room tone with their phone, their iPhone, and then start from there so we can get voice and room tone and see how bad is this noise. And what frequencies are the noise? And that is a big part of it. If the frequencies are more mid-range or high frequency, not nearly as difficult as a low to mid-range droning or leaf blower noises, things like that. So that's going to definitely contribute to how far you have to go with one of these booths.
Yeah.
You may only need just this basic single wall whisper room, depending on your need.
If at all. I mean, now when I talk to people about they're like, do I need to buy a booth? Well, have you booked any work? No. Well, maybe, again.
Maybe not yet.
Putting the cart before the horse a little bit. My philosophy, is everything in your recording that affects the quality is mostly physical. And a booth, of course, is a physical thing because it's going to physically keep sound out away from your microphone. The thing is if you've got a quiet room, or you've got an isolated room or an outbuilding or something like that. I worked with somebody last week in Burbank, had this gorgeous outbuilding in the back, very heavy duty built, as a pool house or something. And I'm like, well, you're totally isolated in here. You're away from your kids. We could just put up, a PVC booth with moving blankets or sound blankets or something like that. As long as you can solve the sound transmission problem, then it becomes all a matter of controlling the reverberation inside the room. Right. So, always look for the quietest place. So we usually recommend, do you have a walk-in closet? And we have an awful lot of really great sounding studios next to hanging pants and dresses.
including my own right now.
If you could show,
actually moved all my clothes in here.
Yeah, and it sounds dynamite in there, I got to tell you. So a closet really is, first off, it's going to save you $5,000 to $6,000, which is, I think significant when you're starting out in this business. Yeah. And I know some people that started out in their closet and that's where they still are, mm-hmm. because it works for them. And, it doesn't necessarily interfere with your lifestyle, because really all you're doing is you really shouldn't be like moving your entire apparatus in there. All you really need in there is your microphone and, say, a music stand and your iPad or your copy or something. And all that stuff can fold away and it doesn't interfere with the fact that you're trying to go for that sweatshirt you like to wear when you have a cold.
I love mounting the mic on an arm that's clamped to the shelf, maybe, so it could stay in there theoretically, and you just swing it out of the way.
Yep, and out of the way.
One of my faves.
Yeah. So the thing is, how soundproof do you need to be? And I think that was your initial question here. And the thing is we found that, if you're in an isolated spot, if you can find a way, if you've got some rumbling or something like that, first off, you'll try and find out what the rumbling is. A lot of times it's the fridge.
Groaning.
We look at the spectrograms on these things and we see all these different patterns. I saw one today. It's like, you got a low frequency rumble. There's just something right above that. From experience, we know, there's something mechanical, it's a dryer running. It's the air conditioning. And then there's air movement through ducts. We hear that. And, and then you see a broken line and you've got a ceiling fan running. And then there'll be something else behind there. And it's like, all right, let's turn all those things off.
One by one,
let's find out what they are and eliminate them. But if you buy a booth, you don't need, if you've got a fairly isolated room, you don't need a killer booth, because if you can reduce the exterior noise by 10 to 15 dB by just some solid surfaces, that's probably going to suffice. And I know, we had Rebecca Davis on last week. And if you'll recall, she bought this booth from this company up in Sacramento at FAFCON a couple of years ago. And she was like, she asked me, what should I bid on this thing? Because they brought it to the conference and they're like, we're going to auction it off at the end of the conference.
Yeah.
And, I thought the booth was kind of, I said, look, if you can get it for, $700, take it away. So she bid $700 on it and it suddenly went up and I'm like, uh-oh. And she bought it for, cheaper than you might normally get it at market.
Yeah.
Except that it really wasn't all that sound tight. But when, because we were talking about how you had that closet booth in there and it was like facing a window. And if there was any exterior noise, it would come in.
Yeah.
Once we put that booth in her office and moved it away from a window and stuff, that gave her the isolation she really needed. Because when they came and they installed it at her home, they really tightened it up because it wasn't,
good.
Didn't assemble it at a conference.
At the show, it was kind of loosely.
Yeah. Assembled. Yeah. But yeah. Once it was tight, it really did keep out the noise and allowed her to really work when they were building that house next door. So
yeah, because remember your booth that's going in your house is, it's not all about the booth. It's about the booth combined with your house.
Exactly.
So like imagine if you put one of these outside in the yard, it wouldn't work so hot. I mean, you'd hear a lot more noise. Right. So this is about the combination of your home's own isolation and the booth together. So you really got to start from how much you need to reduce. And, if you send me a sound sample of your room tone, maybe different times of the day with different vehicles that are going by, that can kind of help inform that, maybe you don't need to go as high end as an $8,000 booth. Maybe something far less expensive and simpler.
Right.
May cut the mustard.
Right. But if you're somebody who's making, you're total living at voice acting and you're cranking it out, you do need to have that. And that's an investment that you...
Quiet on demand.
Right, exactly. Especially now.
That's what I call it.
And now, especially since everybody has to do stuff remotely, you've got to have that. but mm-hmm. you don't start there. So if you're starting out in voiceover, I need a booth. Well, not necessarily.
Right.
But when you do need a booth, you want to get something that's going to work. You know, if you're in a noisy neighborhood, you got to go up a little bit. So anyway.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, we got questions. We got tons and we got lots of questions here. So we're going to cover those in just a minute. So stay tuned. We'll be back here at VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right after this.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow. Snails like it too.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website, but what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
And now a word from Harlan Hogan and voiceoveressentials.com. Has this ever happened to you? Embarrassing. The washers on these booms? They're not so great at holding up your expensive microphone. And here's the answer. The adjustable boom stop is great. Easy to attach and works like a charm. No more droopy mic. It's simple, ingenious, and infinitely adjustable. The padded non-slip pouch fits almost any size boom arm. Unique double loop webbing system for unlimited angle of the downstrap. Works with tripod and solid round bases. Light gray webbing lets you mark and repeat stand settings for each performer. It's 3 ounces of protection for your expensive microphone with free standard shipping in the continental U.S. Hold up your mic with the ABS adjustable boom stop.
All right, what sets all the methods for connecting to studios remotely from home, what sets them really apart? You know, there's different business models, there's subscriptions, there's some that run on an application, some that are running on a web page. There's a lot of different ways that this stuff is done, but where Source Elements, I think, is really different, and they're the creators of Source Connect, as you guys know, is that they have invested heavily in customer service. Now, since the beginning, they've always had a degree of customer service that they've tried to provide. But lately, thanks to a big surge in demand for Source Connect and a lot more people buying in, they've added a lot of people to their support network. And at this point, as far as I'm aware, they have at least 10 people now who are available at different time zones and different parts of the workday, no matter what time zone you're in, to help get you or keep you running. And I think that is unique among these providers that provide studio remote audio. And I think that's why, you know, one of the reasons they are successful and why it's used so widely by the top studios. So just, you know, a little thing to keep think about is it's not always about what something costs. It's about, is it going to work when you actually need it? And when you need it and it doesn't work because of something you didn't think of or something broke in your system and you don't know what it is, are you going to be able to get the help you need to get it running again? And, you know, that's hugely, hugely helpful. So give Source Elements a try. If you're not already trying it out, go get a trial for 15 days for free. Go to source-elements.com, sign up, check out my tutorial video on how to use it at georgethe.tech/SC, and get up and running. You'd be surprised with the right guidance. It's not so bad, and you'll be ready to use it when they are asking for it. Anyway, thanks to Source Elements. I'll be right back with your questions right after this.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
And we're back on VoiceOver Body Shop, and You know, it's just fun talking this stuff. It's just, you know, you do this stuff day in and day out, and it's just great to talk with you and, you know, just to shoot the poop back and forth about, you know, this is what we learned. I mean, we've been doing this for, probably a combined 30 years or so. You learn a few things over after time. And
you do.
So I think I'm going to get my microphone a little bit closer.
Sure, that sounds better.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm looking at the questions we have in the chat.
Yeah.
Or not the chat, but in the actual rundown. And they're all from, and they're all different fonts and colors and sizes, which means they're coming from all over the place.
Absolutely.
They're coming from Facebook and email and forums and all that. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, and when I call over these during the week, it's like, all right, well, this is a good question. And so we throw these in here. Now, the first one we got was from from Richard Williams. He's just talking about power line LAN adapters, because we were talking about that the last couple of weeks. We, you know, where it's like, well, the modem's on the other side of the house, and
right.
How do I do this? He says, well, hello, newbie here in the voiceover community, but I've been in information technology, IT, longer than Dan has had a mustache. Well, it's okay. It's 10 years or 13 years anyway. Please take a look at MoCA as an alternative to power line adapters, coaxial shielded and less traffic, which causes collisions, which is the main reason why you want a LAN connection versus wireless. Then electrical backbones, and you don't have to worry about breakers. You can use splitters that are specifically rated for MoCA networks. I've used the ActionTech system for several years, and it works great. I've used it to extend my wireless network by connecting a wireless router in bridge mode to a node on the opposite side of my house, with the added benefit of having several additional wired connections. Okay, what does all that mean?
Actually, I gotta admit, I have no freaking idea. So you can guarantee I'm going to be Googling this a bit. So what I glean from this,
okay,
this could be totally wrong, is that MoCA is like creating, taking a wireless network, sending it to another access point in the house, and then from there creating another wired network. So like if your router's in one end of the house, you have another thing in another part of the house, and that creates another wired network. But the between the two of those is still wireless. That's what I'm picking up here, but I gotta admit I don't really know.
It's some alternative to these, you know, these consumer level power line adapters.
Yeah, I mean, these power line adapters, they can be good, and sometimes they're kind of meh. You know, they can be actually slower than your Wi-Fi network in overall speed. So if this can do the best of both worlds, which is give you the same kind of reliability as hardwired, the speed that you're losing out on power line, and it doesn't cost a fortune, and it isn't super complicated to set it up, because power line adapters are dead simple. Plug one in here, the other one over here. Then this could be pretty sweet. So thanks, Richard. I'm gonna take a look at that.
Yeah.
See what I find out.
I think you actually gave a link with that. I'll make sure you get that.
Okay, cool.
Dion Roberts asks, hi guys. Hi, Dion. Could you address on your show how to properly store XLR cables? I have mine laying on the floor of my home studio, and I'm careful not to step on them, disturb them. Is this sufficient to prevent issues? Thanks. Well,
not stepping on them, I'd say, would be sufficient.
I got a few running around here, and, you know, I mean, what I do is I have conduits, and I keep them so I don't step on them. So they wrap around. I mean, remember the Hydra?
Oh, yes.
We had the mixer had just wires coming out of it all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's still a lot of cables sitting around here because, you know, it's a multi-purpose studio. But we try not to set them, you know, through walkways and stuff. And you try and cover them up. And when storing them, I mean, I've got, you know, now you're the one that told me not to do this, because I'm the kind of guy that's like, okay, I'm going to wrap up the cables now. And you started giving me this look. Why is that?
I guess a couple reasons. I mean, cause I did a summer job at a theater in near Philadelphia in Valley Forge,
right?
Valley Forge Music Fair.
Right.
And the first time I did exactly what you're doing. The sound engineer did exactly what I did to you. Basically glare at me and say, what are you doing? You need to learn how to coil a cable. So I guess there's a couple reasons for it. One is like when you coil it like that, it sort of puts a natural twist in the cord as you go. And so when you unspool the cord to lay it out, it usually will end up with a twist in
it. A kink in it. Spiral. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's one of the main reasons. It's not as big a deal when it's your own mic cable that you use at home and you're not unfurling it every damn night at every new venue. If you're a touring sound engineer with a crew and you have to unfurl 47 mic cables every damn night, you better believe you want that cord to just pull out very neatly, nicely, with no twists in it. And that's why there's sort of an over-under method that you can do.
Yeah,
I don't think it necessarily is going to damage the cable, but I guess if you're coiling it and holding the XLR on one end and kind of pulling it tight like you would an extension cord and then wrapping it, that could, I guess, possibly be bad on the connector if you have a cord pulling tightly off the end of the connector.
Yeah.
And that's usually the weak spot on all these cords. Really? It's generally the connector.
Yeah.
Where that cord is soldered on to the end, you know, to the connector.
Right. Or the shielding might tear or something like that.
Yeah.
See, now I learned, you know, and not like that. See, I learned how to coil sailing sheets, you know, sheets for running your jib and stuff.
The same idea.
Right.
But I've never learned to coil a sailing sheet.
Right. But it's there. It's twist it and keep it even all the way around. But, you know, that particular time when you saw me doing that, when I think we were doing the outdoor concert, and you were like, don't do that.
Like, it was either the over under or just the small wrap it around your hand.
Right.
So when you're done, you have a mound of cable like this big around. Oh, man. And some cable is made better than others. Some stuff is super flexible and pliable, and so it just lays no matter what you do. And other cables, like I had these older Worldwind ones.
Yeah.
They were tough cables, but the copper inside or whatever was stiff.
Right.
It was tough to get those things to coil up nicely. They were a pain. Anyway, I digress.
Yes. Well, take care of your cables.
Take care of your cables.
Scott Chambers.
Scott Chambers. This one's for me because it's, yeah. I guess, about the Townsend mic, the Townsend. He's interested in the Townsend Labs L22 Sphere. That's the name of this microphone. I've done a review on it. It is on YouTube under George the Tech. Will it run on the Apollo Arrow, or is that asking too much from that interface? So all that microphone needs is just two microphone preamp channels. It doesn't require a badass, super high-end, really expensive interface. But the Apollo Arrow, being the lowest end of, you know, the lowest tier version of the Apollo stuff, is still definitely powerful enough because it will still have the power to run the Townsend Labs plugin. So it's probably what he's referring to. So like with the L22, you can run the plugin in your DAW. So if you're running Pro Tools, you can run that plugin in Pro Tools and then get the effect that this microphone has. Or if you're using something like Apollo, you can record through this special processing software and hear what it does. And by the way, what it does is it models or emulates or fakes tons of other microphones. So you can have one of these, looks like a big, chunky, large diaphragm studio mic that can sound exactly like a Sennheiser 416 or pretty damn close. It can do a lot of microphones. And so when you're using it with the Apollo stuff, now you can actually hear the sound of that mic in real time. So if that's part of your thing, you really want to hear what the mic's going to sound like in your cans. I know what you think, Dan, don't wear cans when you're recording, but for some people that's kind of part of their deal. Then running that plugin in the Apollo means you can hear the way the mic should sound and it's recorded that way right out of the gate. So yes. Short answer is yes, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, I look at something like that and, you know, everybody hears things differently, you know? So I guess what the people at Townsend Labs did is they, you know, the idea was let's use the technical specs and what is the output from this mic and what's the frequency response and stuff like that to model the mic. You know, I mean, you can do anything digitally.
You did a pretty good job, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. Not that you need all these different mics, especially for voiceover, because that was not designed for voiceover. It was designed for, you know, for having a mic that you can adjust in the studio for a vocalist or instrumentation, which is really why you have all these different types of microphones.
So, yeah, it just happens to have some microphone models in its arsenal that are popular voiceover mics. Right. So let's say if you were thinking of buying a Neumann U87, you're ready like to drop that cash.
I don't know, but yeah.
For essentially less than the cost of U87, you can buy the Sphere L22 and an Apollo Arrow to run their software on, and now essentially have the U87, a U47, and then a C12 and a 416, and this crazy locker of microphones virtually,
right,
that are very convincingly real. So, yeah, if for some people they want the U87, nothing's going to talk them out of it. They're ready to blow that money. It's the mic they've always wanted. More power to you. But for others that are a little bit more into production, maybe a lot more creative work, that microphone is pretty remarkable.
You want to geek out there? There you go.
Oh yeah.
All right. Mike Gordon has some questions here about USB. He says, I have a question regarding USB. I'm redoing my studio, getting the computer outside the booth. I use a wired Logitech G600 gaming mouse. Okay. I run a 2 terabyte internal hard drive and have the digital interface USB running on my MacBook Pro with Catalina into Twisted Wave. Love Twisted Wave. Thank you for the heads up. Thomas owes us a fortune. says, anyway, here's my dilemma. The mouse will only run if connected directly into a USB port on the computer. I will be running the hard drive and the digital interface through a non-powered TSP link, USB 4-point hub for the external hard drive and the digital interface. Aha. Does a hub diminish anything or insert any extraneous noise? Not sure how USB works, but then again, nobody does. If so, any suggestions how to get the best sound and use my wired mouse Bluetooth won't get out of my booth, minus 90 dB? Or is there a way to get the mouse to run through the hub or a hub powered? She says, I just don't like anything unnecessary. It's a long question. I just don't like anything unnecessary in the signal path. Is there a maximum length for a USB cable? Boy, now that's a good question, though. Because
there's a couple things.
Because we've seen this time and time again. Your thoughts?
There's a couple things wrapped up in that question. I have no idea why your Logitech G600 gaming mouse won't work when plugged into a USB hub. That doesn't make any sense at all. So that means there's two different devices at fault here. The hub and the mouse. Now, it doesn't mean that it's just the hub's fault. It's the combination of those two. I'm venturing to guess that the G600 gaming mouse is more important to you than the hub. USB hubs are a dime a dozen.
Yep.
They're cheap. Now, if they're too cheap, they may not be reliable, but they're replaceable. So go buy another USB hub. Don't get a TP-Link. Maybe get something a little bit higher rated unit that's more reliable. What would that be these days, actually? I never even know anymore. I go on Amazon, search for USB hub arranged by customer review or sort, and I look. But I think there's just something between that hub and that mouse that just doesn't play well together. And, yep. If you love that mouse, you want to use it, try it with a different hub. Otherwise, try a different mouse. USB mice are like 10 bucks these days. So yeah, there's some combination going on. I don't know exactly what the problem is, but I generally recommend powered hubs.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to say, go with the powered hub, because a passive hub just isn't going to cut it with a digital interface.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't plug your digital interface, which you bizarrely left generic here. I don't know why. There's got to be a reason you left the name out. You bothered to spell out digital interface USB, but you didn't tell us what it is. So anyway, can't figure that one out.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, yeah, generally any USB audio device that doesn't have its own power supply definitely wants to be plugged into the computer or a powered hub. So do make sure that if you get another hub, it should be powered. And then for the maximum length of USB, I think it's like 12 feet before things get funky. Maybe yeah. 15 feet.
I used to run a 15-foot USB cable in my old studio in Buffalo, and it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, as long as it's a good high-quality one, you know, like Monster cables. You know, I mean, you gotta get, you know, good quality cables are always really, really important.
It also has to do with what you're shoving down that wire.
Well, absolutely.
So a mouse puts out an incredibly tiny amount of data, right? Doesn't need anything fancy. Whereas like a 4K video webcam, for example, needs a super fast high-speed pipe. And so the longer that cable run is, the more susceptible there is to problems, interference, dropouts. So when you're doing very high-speed data transfer, you need very high-quality cables, and they tend to not get very long. There's one exception. Believe it or not, there's an optical USB cable. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go buy this cable for your mouse because that would be insanity, but it's like a $200 USB cable.
That is insanity. I'm sorry.
It's optical between the two connectors. So it's a regular USB extension, but the between is optical. And I think they're like 33 feet or 100 feet up to like super long. So that's a real bizarre niche product. It's made by a company called Corning, which I don't think is too coincidentally the same Corning as Corning Glass, Corningware. They make the fiber optic, but
in Corning, New York.
If you really, really need to do that, that's the cord. It's optical USB. So check it out.
Yeah. USB cables. You know, they're sort of like, well, we're up to what, USB-C now.
Or is USB-C, right, which is sort of the evolution of USB 3.1, which was USB 3.
They're supposed to carry more data faster, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. USB-C is the next, is currently our fastest thing. We're eventually going to have a USB 4, and that'll be way faster than everything else, but who cares? It doesn't matter for what we're doing in audio. We just want it to be reliable.
Right.
The thing is, I have a bin of USB cables. I don't know when to get rid of them. Did they, you know, is there a point where I should just take that whole thing and dump it because they're just all getting too old or slow or.
Oh, but you always need, I need a USB cable. I need that particular kind. And yeah, that's why you have a pile of them because you know exactly where they are. And,
yeah.
And you're going to grab them and you're going to do that. Now we've got this, you put this power hub in here. With the green lights and the blue lights and all this other stuff.
Oh, it's like a pretty Uber hub. Yeah, it's like a USB 3 with Ethernet and all these other video. I think it even has a video jack.
It does. It. Everything's running through there. So it's like, anyway. Okay.
Three more questions.
Yes, from one from Jeff Holman. He says, I live really close to an airport.
Sorry, Jeff.
That's, you live where you choose to live. Yeah. I use the walk-in closet, which, as Dan said, works great for almost everything, but can eliminate plane noise. What happens if I book a directed session? Well, remember when we were in Vegas, George, when we were at the B&B there?
Oh yeah,
we were at the NAB.
It was convention. a little
loud.
It was in the. It was under the McCarran takeoff. I mean,
it was every 30 seconds.
It wasn't that quiet. It was a bargain. Now we knew why after we stayed there.
But yeah, I'd go in the closet and I'd count to, okay, go. I'd try to record something and then 30 seconds and another plane would go over.
Like directed sessions. Remember we were talking earlier about quiet on demand?
Yes, exactly. Not going to get it in a closet if you're like in the flight path from. You know, from Van Nuys Airport, it's just
quiet on demand. That's a whole different level. Yeah, it's going to be extremely case by case basis. If that studio or that client, whoever it is that really really wants you on that project, and if it's not like a massive budget, you know, where there's going to be seven different people on the line, all being paid by the hour, and time is money, and all this stuff, you know, the production rate isn't like $1,200 an hour and they don't want to wait for a plane.
Yeah, really.
you know, you might be okay. So it does highly depend on the production as to how tolerant they are.
Right. And it's an audio book, you know, I mean, it's like a plane here, a plane there. That's what editing is for.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the airport, depending on how many planes there are, LAX on a Friday, every 1 minute.
During normal times. Right now, it's not right now. You know, there's, you know, crickets on the runway there. But
yeah, yeah. So, anyway, I know that's challenging.
Yeah.
Paul. Yeah.
One from Paul Strickrita. We haven't heard from Paul in a while. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, man.
I'll let you ask.
Twisted Wave.
Yes, more Twisted Wave questions.
Catalina.
Is it?
Yes.
Compatible?
Yes. It actually was, essentially from day one. I believe, because Thomas, that's the only, other than the iPad version, and he has the web version, which he tinkers with, it's the only software he maintains. So basically, when the developer release of Catalina came out, he was running it and testing it. Right now, if I wanted to, I could be running macOS Big Sur, which is the next OS that comes out in the fall.
They keep moving up the California coast, don't they?
Yeah. I could be running Big Sur, and I could be testing things out on that if I really wanted to. I don't. I have better things I want to do with my time, but I could. But anyway, you know, with Twisted Wave, he was ready, and he had it dialed in and ready to go when Catalina came out. So, yes. Answer is yes. So you're probably asking this probably because you're thinking about upgrading to Catalina. I would say the time to upgrade to Catalina would be when Big Sur is coming out or is already out.
They finally got it figured out.
Yeah. So I think, you know, come September, you know, August or September, their version Catalina is, the current one's 10.15.5. There could be a 0.6 coming. I can tell you from my experience running it on my Mac Mini 2018, I don't know if it's hardware or software, but it's still a little wonky sometimes, but 99% of the time it's fine.
Yeah.
There could be an update, but it's pretty much ready. It's pretty well baked. So if you're going to upgrade, if you really feel compelled, then, you know, make sure it's compatible with your hardware and your drivers. That's the most important thing, really. You should be fine. No problem.
All right. And finally, the lovely and talented Nazia Chaudhry, who I met at BO Atlanta a couple of
years
ago.
Nice. Also a jazz singer.
Nice lady. Yes. Says, what interface setup do people use with the iPad and Twisted Wave?
Oh,
lots of choices for that. A lot of them are all iOS compatible now. You know, the Mixer Face, the
Micboard Pro the two.
Yeah. I believe the Evo 4 from Audient, which I'm running over here, also will run iOS.
And the Steinberg ID stuff.
Right.
ID 12. I'm sorry. No, UR12.
Right.
UR22. I believe all of those have like a dual mode thing where you can plug another power supply in so it can run with the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of devices need a secondary power supply to be able to work with an iPhone or an iPad.
Right.
The Micboard Pro is unique that it has a battery inside and recharges, and the Mixer Face, both. Yeah. There's others. Those are the ones I know I've tested or tried over the years. My big bugaboo with using Pro Audio stuff with iPad is sometimes you just don't really know what interface it's using. It's just annoying. There's no little drop-down menu saying you are now using, you know, the Micboard Pro instead of the built-in mic.
Right.
Like, that to me is annoying. I don't like that. But
yeah, it the connectivity sometimes can be an issue. But it's still nice and convenient to be able to record on your iPad.
I feel like every time I hit record, I want to like, is it this? Okay, yes, it is this mic. Okay, rolling.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Scratch the mic.
There we go.
Okay, I'm convinced I'm recording the Apogee mic.
Yeah. Is the needle bouncing? Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Awesome. That's a lot of great questions.
Great questions. Gosh, it's just so much fun talking to you about this stuff. And we learn so much from the people who we serve, because you teach best that which you need to learn most. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for this. We've got just a couple of messages here, and then we'll wrap things up here on Tech Talk. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
What question do we get most often? Far and away, it's how do I even get started in VoiceOver? And we have a great answer to that question. Take the VOHeroes.com free Getting Started in VO course. You heard right. It's free, and it's available online 24/7 at gettingstartedinvo.com. That's gettingstartedinvo.com. If you've been watching VOBS and thinking that you need to get in gear and start your own voiceover career, this is the course you should start with. You'll learn about the vocal skills you need, the storytelling skills you need, the equipment you need, the business skills you need, and the mindset you need to have, all in one single comprehensive online course taught by VO Heroes David H. Lawrence XVII. This course won the Backstage Reader's Choice Award 4 years in a row. And again, there's no charge. It's absolutely free. Want to take it? Of course you do. GettingStartedInVO.com. That's GettingStartedInVO.com.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
You know, it's interesting to note that time just goes by so fast. And an hour, just like that. Just talking tech, and suddenly it's an hour later. And hopefully you all got something out of it, which is the most important thing. Next week, we'll have another great guest here on this show, so stay tuned for when we tell you who that's going to be. And who are donors this week?
Yes, great names that we've said so many times because they subscribe and send us money regularly, which is pretty dang cool, such as Sarah Borges, Philip Sapir, Trey Speaks For You, that's Trey Mosley, Thomas Pinto, Natasha Marshuka, Brian Page, Patty Gibbons, Dana Birdsall, and Uncle Roy of Ant-Land Productions. So thank you, all of you. We really appreciate it. You don't have to do that subscribe thing, but, you know, for a couple of bucks, you get your name mentioned on the show. That's a little something, right? The VOBS bump.
Good night.
Good night. Right. So anyway, but you can just make a one-time little donation if you heard something that was extremely helpful that week, or you had your question answered, or you just love the guest, whatever. You can make us a little donation right on the VOBS.TV webpage.
That's right. Call in now. Anyway. Yeah, you know, I think it's almost time that we can get back and actually do this show together eventually. We just have to take a shower before we come in and when we leave. But
I always take a shower after I've been volunteering at the Bikerwave, believe it or not, bike co-op.
Yeah.
And we don't let people actually physically into the store. They can only come into the door in front, and then we, you know, get them the parts they need. But yeah, I don't go into my girlfriend's apartment or really my house usually without taking a shower. That's the first thing I do when I walk in the door.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to thank our fabulous sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements, makers of Source Connect.
Yeah, voheroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
And Jeff Holman on chat room duty tonight. Sue Merlino, who's been gluing her hair back in after last week. And of course, as our technical director, and Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney. Well, we're here to help you with your home studios. We're the guys to talk to, and we're happy to talk to you every week here on VoiceOver Body Shop and VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. So have yourselves a good week. Remember, shower a lot, wash your hands, don't touch your face, and save the hugs until we can all be together. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace.